Veterans made 2 million virtual healthcare visits in fiscal 2014. Whether it's having a consult without leaving your living room or having medical data collected and monitored remotely, telehealth makes more care possible for many vets who can't make it to a clinic or don't have one nearby. Ellen Edmondson is Deputy Chief Consultant of the Veterans Health Administration Telehealth Services. She joins me now with more. Good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Yes, thanks, Tom, for having me.
So I would like to get just a clear definition of telehealth. What exactly is it? Does it always involve video conferencing, or can it be done on the telephone? What is it?
Okay, well, telehealth in VA uses technologies, like you said, such as video teleconferencing technologies, disease management technologies, and imaging technologies. And so telehealth is used to provide health care when a patient and practitioner are separated by geographical distance. So the goal of telehealth is to provide the right care in the right place at the right time. It enhances the quality of care and makes the home and local community the preferred site of care whenever this is appropriate. So telehealth is all about making health care more convenient, more timely, and more accessible to veterans. And it's also responsive to the special needs of certain veterans, such as the growing number of women veterans and veterans who live in rural or remote areas such as Alaska.
So what can you do remotely? What are some of the clinical areas that are best suited to telehealth?
Okay, well, we have three different categories or types of telehealth in VA. The first one is clinical video telehealth, and as the name implies, it uses video connections to provide veterans access to primary and specialty care located elsewhere in VA. And also, VA can provide video connectivity between a provider and a patient in their own home. The second category or type of telehealth is home telehealth. It is a program into which veterans are enrolled for ongoing management and monitoring of their chronic conditions, such as diabetes or heart failure or high blood pressure or depression. They are provided with a technology for their use at home that enables them to send information about their symptoms on a daily basis to their assigned VA care coordinator, who is the clinician. They may send information such as how they are feeling and any vital signs they have taken, such as a weight or a blood pressure. And then their care coordinator uses this information to assist the veteran in managing their health virtually at home or in gaining access to an in-person health care visit if needed. And then the third or last category of telehealth in VA is store and forward telehealth, so think imaging. And this enables veterans to get imaging or other diagnostic testing at a time and location that's convenient to them. And this health information is then sent to a specialist that can interpret and provide recommendations or a diagnosis. So, for example, this includes retinal imaging, which is important for veterans with diabetes who are at high risk for eye disease, or for a veteran with a rash or another skin condition, which needs to be reviewed by a dermatologist. So those are the three types or categories of telehealth in VA.
And just lumping all of these together, does the VA measure the outcomes for those that are served by telehealth separately, or are they just measured along with people that might be doing strictly in-house visits or in-person types of visits?
For most part, collectively, but we do collect patient satisfaction data. Hundreds of thousands of surveys for telehealth are done every year between the three types of telehealth programs. And we are averaging between 84-85% satisfaction and up to 94-95% satisfaction for our various types of telehealth programs. So veterans are very pleased with this service that's being provided to them.
And just to clarify on the video connection, the first category that you mentioned,
yeah,
this would be an example where, say, someone is near the Boston VA facility, for example, and the specialist they need or the super-duper specialist might be in Chicago. So it would be from
right.
VA to VA location that this connection would be instituted between?
Yes, yes. It could be, just as you described, it could be that that veteran needs the services of a specialist elsewhere in the country, and we're able to connect them via telehealth. And again, it could also be telehealth using video directly into the veteran's home.
So can the video actually, is it just to talk back and forth, or can the video actually see a condition? Suppose someone has, I don't know, something that's visible from the outside.
No, definitely. There are telehealth carts. So VA has done a large investment into telehealth equipment nationally. And so one of the primary technologies when we're talking video that has been part of that investment are telehealth video carts. And on these carts, are dual monitors, high-definition cameras, lighting, different types of scopes, and the otoscope, different types of even a stethoscope that allows the provider at the distant end to actually see in a patient's ears, nose, mouth, look it closely into their eyes, or use a high-definition camera to look at maybe a wound on their arm or their leg. So they really get a lot of good imaging and good information from telehealth. It's not just talking. There's many other different types of exams that can be done.
So it sounds like VA is pretty well along in this. This is something that just didn't start in the last couple of years.
No. If you can imagine, it actually the first recorded event in VA is all the way back to 1959. When the VA piloted two-way television visits between sites in Nebraska. And then telehealth became more prominent in VA in the mid-1990s, but it experienced tremendous growth in the last 10 years. And now we're offering more than 45 telehealth specialties to our veterans. So just in the last year alone, to give the listeners a little more of a sense, more than 690,000 veterans opted to receive aspects of their health care through the 2 million telehealth visits. This amounts to over 12% of all veterans that are receiving VA health care. And just one other thing I want to say along that is that telehealth is an option. Veteran patients are given the choice of receiving aspects of their care via telehealth or traveling to an in-person or face-to-face visit. So more than 690,000 veterans made that choice in fiscal year 2014 alone.
We're speaking with Ellen Edmondson. She's Deputy Chief Consultant of the Veterans Health Administration Telehealth Services. And so when it's happening in the home, VA provides the equipment to be able to look at the person and what's wrong with them. Is that a high level of expense? I mean, how does this expense out relative to having people come into VA facilities?
Oh, sure. So there's two types of programs that we're providing into the home. There's home telehealth, which is where we provide a veteran a type of technology that's best suited to them to be able to connect on a daily basis and send information such as vital signs or other health information back to their VA care coordinator. And this usually does not include video, but it's an ongoing program, as I was discussing before, that a patient is enrolled in, and they develop a relationship with their home telehealth care coordinator. But when we provide video into the home, we have the ability to use the veteran's own technologies, and then we have some other technologies that the VA provides. So the veteran that might have their own iPad or they might have their own laptop can actually get access to the secure encrypted technology that we use for video to the home placed on their device so that they can have those video visits with their provider.
Yeah, you answered my next question. I guess there are a lot of sensors and temperature types of takers, thermometers and so forth that can be attached to mobile devices nowadays, correct?
Correct, yes.
So they really become peripherals, and the device that someone has for telephone calls becomes their telemedicine idea.
It can. In VA, we have not started to use the mobile phone yet to capture information within the telehealth programs, but we definitely see that as a future in the next couple years. But the devices we provide them, that we actually provide a physical device that they can use in their home, does allow the Bluetooth or cabled connection of a blood pressure cuff, a glucometer, a pulse oximeter, a weight scale, and probably four or five other devices I can't think of right now. So we can get a lot of information directly from the veteran at home.
You have to be careful. If the dog climbs on the scale, that could really throw off the doctor a lot.
Yes, or a grandchild. So that's why the care coordinator is critically important in this. This data needs to be scrutinized. It needs to be reviewed. And if there is something that gets flagged in for the day, the care coordinator comes in and reviews all the patients for the day, and there's a weight or a blood pressure or something that is off, the care coordinator will call that veteran and verify was there an error in how they captured that information or was it accurate. So before any action is taken upon that clinical data, the nurse or the social worker who's their assigned care coordinator does a phone call to see why they're flagging as possibly having some risk with their health for the day.
So mobile devices is one area. Where else would you like to see this whole program go in the next year or so or 18 months?
Well, really, thinking about the three areas that we've really seen the most growth is going back to that video to the home. So more than 4,000 veterans have opted to receive, in just the last fiscal year alone, a video visit in their home. And just to give some examples of what this means for the veterans, one of the first pilots we did with this several years ago was a young OEF-OIF veteran who was seriously injured at war, and he was now completely bedridden and dependent on his parents for care. Just to get him out of the house required the ordering of a stretcher ambulance to go anywhere. So for video visits in the home, this was a life changer for this family. It allowed the veteran to stay in his safe, in his own environment, comfortable. It allowed his parents to keep their normal daily routine. The doctor or the RN can remote in via video to look at the veteran, look at a wound, or look at maybe the medications that the mother had questions about, or to watch the parents do an aspect of his care to cheer him on and let him know they're doing a good job, or maybe give them some recommendations for improvement. So it allows that veteran to stay at home and the parents to keep some sense of normalcy. Another example for video into home is a veteran who is not the physical wounds, but the mental wounds of war. May be severely disabled with PTSD, his wife works, and he may be the full-time child care provider for a young child. So in order for him to travel to his local VA, he has to get child care, or his
sure.
wife has to take off from work. So this allows him to stay at home and avoid those costs and be able to receive his care.
And very quickly, would you say that VA is way ahead of the rest of the health sector when it comes to this whole telehealth idea?
I think so. We have the largest telehealth network, telehealth programs in the United States and possibly in the world. So we are working with our vendor community, working with clinicians throughout the VA to develop new models of healthcare that can be provided via telehealth. And the ideas are coming in rapidly from our clinicians and even from our patients that are asking, I'm getting some of my health care in this way. Why can't I get more of my health care in this way?
Ellen Edmondson is Deputy Chief Consultant of the Veterans Health Administration Telehealth Services. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you.